Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. This week, we're welcoming our new listeners to The Word, KWRD-FM 100.7 here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, with the encouragement of those listeners and all of you listening wherever to give us a call. We want to hear from you. If you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The number, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I love this passage in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. This particular passage really changed my life at a period of time when my life needed to be changed. I was trying to be God's guy, and I'd just given up the task because I couldn't do it. I kept sinning. I kept struggling. I kept trying to repent. I kept trying to change and to be better and to do better and all of those sort of things. And I just couldn't. So finally, I threw up my hands and said, Lord, I quit. And I got into a situation where I felt a little desperate and I needed some answers. And I went to a Bible study. And the Bible study teacher at the time was going through the book of Colossians. And he got to this passage. And it stopped me dead in my tracks. And it said, there's the answer. There's what you're looking for. And here's what this passage says. Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Here in this single verse, verse 13, we see the gospel message, the fact that Jesus died to forgive us all of our sins, that he was raised alive so that we could be made alive together with him. Now, I knew a little bit about the forgiveness side of the equation, but I had no earthly idea about the life side of the equation.
Yes.
And that's what changed me when I realized that I didn't have to do this through human effort, that God had actually made me alive, had changed me from the inside out. And that stopped my struggling, my striving, and it brought me to a point of saying, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you. And having this foundation of forgiveness underneath me just made all the difference in the world. I didn't know that I would say, like most people, that Christ died for all of my sins, but I didn't act that way. I certainly didn't truly believe that in my heart, because every time I sinned, I tried to get more forgiveness. And that's when the do more and be better and all of that really hit me hard. What was I doing that for? So that I could get that sin forgiven that I just had done. Well, Jesus forgave that sin. Jesus shed his blood once and for all. And when I received him, I received that forgiveness. So having seen that Christ had taken away all my sins, that was really the door that opened up this new life to me. And it's so vitally important. If we want to grow in our faith, if we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we want to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised, we really do have to settle this forgiveness issue. And I think this passage really nails it for us. Simply with these words, Jesus Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Do we believe that? And if we do, it's going to change us. I guarantee it.
That is good news. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us by phone at 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like for us to discuss, we'd love to discuss it with you. Give us a call. Plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Richard, let's go to Leonardo, New Jersey, and speak with Wayne, listening on our great New York area affiliate, WMCA. Wayne, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, praise the Lord, brothers. I love your ministry, and may God come to bless you all abundantly.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Do you have a question for us?
Yes. I'm trying to answer my father's question.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the first one is, where evil came from? Two, who created evil? Three, if the devil, is he a co-creator with God? And number four, God is a spirit, and why he needed to rest on the seventh day?
All great questions, and we'll just go through those one at a time. Where did evil come from? And that really ties into the second question as well, who created evil? Well, evil isn't really a thing that was created. It is a derivative. So God is good, and everything that he created was good. And then that choice that Satan brought into the world, that Satan had already made, it says, hey, I don't want to be dependent upon God. I want to be God. That choice that he presented to Adam and Eve became the root of all evil. So it stemmed from the goodness that God had made, but so it is something that's derived. It's a derivative type thing. So it's not a thing that was created. It's just it's just when good has gone bad, so to speak. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So Satan is not a co-creator with God at all. Satan was a created being, is a created being. And he made that choice. How he made that choice, we're not given any of those details. But he said, I don't want to be in this dependent state. I don't want to simply be a created being. I want to ascend to the throne, and I want to take God's place, and I want to be God. That's what took place in Satan's heart. And like I said, we're not given any insight into how that took place. We just see, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 14, where we get a little picture of what took place. Well, Satan then brought that same choice to Adam and Eve in the garden. They decided that they wanted to live independent of God, and that's what sin really is a decision to live independent of God. And when you live independent of God, you're moving away from his goodness, and all that you have is evil. So that's where that came from. Now, the final question you asked was on why did God rest on the Sabbath, since he is spirit? Well, it wasn't because he was tired. It wasn't because he was exhausted. It was simply because his work was finished. There was nothing more to be done. He created on those 6 days. At the end of each day, he looked at what was created. He said that was good. And after man was created in his image, that was the final creation. And when that was done, there was nothing more for God to do. So he rested. And that's really symbolic of the fact that we are to have a relationship with him, that we are to rest in all that God has created for us, all that God has done for us, and really enjoy that relationship. And when sin entered the picture, it messed all of that up. So we started down a path of striving and struggling and all of those sort of things. And then when Jesus came, he died, he took away all sin, he said it is finished, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And the reason he sat down was because his work was finished. And through faith in him, we can experience a Sabbath rest. No longer working to gain God's good favor, but simply resting in the fact that it's been bestowed upon us in Christ. Richard, this is a big topic, isn't it? Something that you've spent a lot of time dwelling on, this Sabbath rest that we can experience in Christ.
Yes, yes it is, because I, for so long, looked at it as a means of salvation, not as a demonstration that I've already been saved. And you know, when you start trying to answer the rest question from a behavioral point of view, what you discover in yourself is that evil that we were talking about at the beginning of the question. Anytime that I try to substitute my own effort for what God will do in me and through me by the Spirit, I have no other result. No other result can be possible than evil. Even if it's not evil of the kind that makes the news, it's still evil because it was attempted to be done independently. So this rest thing is huge. Resting in Jesus Christ, because he has finished it all, will change your life. It really will.
Yeah. Wayne, hope that's a help to you.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much. Can Brother Bob, can you send those answers to my email so I can go over them?
Certainly. Send an email to me at bob@basicgospel.net. Bob@basicgospel.net.
Bob@basicgospel.net.
We would love to hear from you. Bob. And anyone else that would like to pose a question via an email, just use that email address right there, bob@basicgospel.net, and we will correspond with you via email.
Yep. Well, Wayne, hope that's been a help to you. Hope you keep listening and call again if we could be a further help. Right now, again, open lines, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial quickly, 844-322-2742. And quickly, before we go talk to Jennifer in New Jersey, friends, if you're new to this broadcast called Basic Gospel, we have a special gift for you. Among other important things, you'll receive a copy of our booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. And for your gift, all you need to do is go to basicgospel.net and click that graphic in the lower left corner of our homepage. Again, that's the lower left corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Hope you'll take advantage of that. Well, indeed, let's go and talk with Jennifer, listening in New Jersey. And Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi. So my comment/question is regarding the comment about created evil. So I've taught classes for discipleship, you know, just basic classes. When we were doing our teacher group, that question came up, and our leaders were wanting us to discuss it. Half of us believe, like what you guys said, that it doesn't come from God. But what they opposed was that evil had to have come from God because he's the creator of all things. And I was very taken aback from that because I don't want to accept that. And I was so confused about that. I also took a seminary course on theology, and they also stated that the tree of life was created from God, and that almost anything not of God has to be part of the choice, right, in order for you to choose God, and that all comes from God. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to get off the phone, but I want to hear your response or comment regarding that. That's okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks for the question. Yes. And again, evil is not a thing that was created. It's a perversion of good. That's what evil is. It's simply a perversion of good. All that God created is good. And we have to recognize that. James, the brother of Jesus, in his letter, he said, every good thing, every good gift is from above. God is good. That's one of the statements that we see in the Gospels, that God is good. No one else is good except him. And the reason is because mankind fell. Adam and Eve chose to sin. And their choice to sin was a perversion of the goodness that God had created them to experience. So when they chose to sin, when they chose to give in to the temptation of Satan, the goodness that they had became perverted, and it manifests itself in what we call evil. So this choice of independence from God manifests itself in evil behavior. Instead of God being the center of the universe, we become the center of the universe. We place ourselves right up on that throne, and then we want things our way. We want what we want, and if somebody's going to take it away from us, we're going to defend it. And that's where fightings and quarrels and all the things that we see in this world come from. But it originates with that choice of independence. We can't be independent. Why? Because we're created beings. And if we're going to experience just the fullness of humanity, what God has created us to be, then we're going to have to live in dependence upon Him. It's just as simple as that. So evil is nothing more than a perversion of good. It somehow entered into the heart of Satan when he chose to say, I'm going to ascend on high. I am going to set my throne on high. This is Isaiah 14. That attitude is kind of the birthplace of evil behavior that we see in the world today.
Very good. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Kathleen, listening on WMCA. Hi, Kathleen. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hi, Kathleen.
Yes,
you're on
hi,
the air.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I just took your speaker. The question was, I heard that Noah, you know, after we had the flood, that there was a rainbow, and that the rainbow was a covenant between God and us, that he would never destroy the world again by a flood or water. So I don't know if that's scriptural or where that came from. Is there any truth to that? Is that scriptural?
Yes, that is scriptural. We call that the Noahic covenant. And the rainbow was a sign of that covenant God made with Noah. And basically you stated it very well, that
yes.
God... in giving that sign and making that covenant, promised that he would never destroy again through flood.
You can find that
great.
In Genesis.
So it is true.
Yes, you can find that in Genesis 9, starting in verse 8
Genesis
and going
9.
Through 17.
Okay, Genesis 9,
8 through 17.
8 and 17. Great, thank you so much.
8 through 17, yes. That's yeah. exactly where it is.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for your call, Kathleen. Great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Plenty of open lines remaining, friends. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Going to go talk to Lisa, listening in Fairview, New Jersey on WMCA. Lisa, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
God bless you, Pastor. I wanted to offer an explanation to the brother, and hopefully he's listening. That called in yesterday asking about why, if God is forgiving, then why did he kill children when he ordered, well, I forget the text that he was coming from, but I'm sure you'll remember. And when I, you know, the word says that the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts and that his ways are higher than our ways. And so what I think is that while God did allow those children to die, I think that God, in his goodness, takes care of those children because they are innocent, because they are not of age, old enough to choose Christ for themselves. And so I don't think that he just disregards their innocence. So that's... hope, that's my thought, that yes, he did allow it, but that he takes care of those children who are innocent because he's a good God.
Well, I think you're absolutely right there, that we can trust God's goodness, we can trust God's justice, we can trust God's mercy, we can trust God's kindness, we can trust God's loving kindness toward mankind in those type of situations. Like I said, we try to judge things based on our human understanding, our human reasoning and logic, and things sometimes just don't make sense. I mean, when you look at some of those Old Testament stories and read them just for what they are, some of them are very unsettling. But we have to come back to the fact that with God, there is no injustice. With God, there's only justice or mercy. So when God acts, he is either acting in a just manner or he's acting in a merciful manner. And both of those are tied to his love for mankind. That's just truth. That's who God is. So if we don't understand something, that doesn't make God a different God. We're trying to funnel God through our filters and through our understanding and trying to make him fit our into our minds. And God says, no, that's the wrong way to approach it. You need your thoughts elevated. You need your ways elevated. And maybe you don't understand something, but what I do want you to understand is that in Jesus you can have life and forgiveness and freedom, and that choice is out there for each and every one of us. And when we come to Christ by faith, that's when we can start really understanding the ways of God. Until we come to Christ by faith, God's really a mystery to us, isn't he? And we read all about him, and it just doesn't make sense. But when we do come to Christ by faith, things start to open up, and we gain God's perspective instead of our perspective. Excellent insights. We certainly appreciate your comments today.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Hope you'll keep listening and call again. Well, guys, just a short time left in the broadcast. Final question. This is from Alicia, who wrote to us from Far Rockaway, New York. She says she listens to the program and supports it on a monthly basis. Says she has absolutely no question of her salvation. She says she feels his presence. I'll go ahead and quote it with me and see the changes in my heart, attitude, and ways, but I still feel discouraged because I can't break the habit of taking things too personally. My job site is the place where I feel disconnected, and because I spend so much time there, it bothers me that I keep falling into the trap of the enemy every day. I work with a much younger girl who can be so graceful, attentive, and sociable with everyone but me. Unless I talk to her, she doesn't acknowledge me. I find it hard to like her. Although I don't hate her, it's just awkward to the point of always being the first one to speak. I just don't feel very godly around her because of her rejection. It makes me feel very invisible. Please forgive me the trivial status of this email, she says, but to me it isn't trivial. Any words that we can offer to Alicia in that situation?
Well, I think all of us go through those types of experiences where there are people that just rub us the wrong way. Our flesh gets exposed, you know, the things that the sin living in us gets exposed. And I think we should just take those as opportunities to, one, thank the Lord, and to recognize that apart from him, we can do nothing. And then the second thing that I would suggest is that we still want people to like us. And that's an unrealistic expectation to think that everybody in this world is going to like us. There's just going to be people that aren't going to like us. And there are going to be people that we don't necessarily like. But that doesn't change who we are in Christ. So we need to keep going back to our identity in Christ, that we're children of God. And regardless of what people think of us, God's opinion of us never changes. And his opinion is just incredibly amazing. Yeah. It just is outrageous, scandalous that he loves us as much as he does.
Yeah.
But that's his choice, and we're his children, and we get to live each and every day knowing that is truth.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thanks for that. Friends, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. We are a listener-supported ministry, and it's your prayers and gifts that keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. You'll find a donation link when you visit our website. That's basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. And have a great weekend, everybody. See you then. Bye-bye.